thought you're coming to, oh, let's start our week off so silently. Where the, when we start to worship, man, we shackles start to fall off the feet. Hey, fear starts to run away because we start to praise the holy name. This is why we come to worship. This is why we can stand and we can sing and we can shout, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. I'm so excited this evening. I hope you are just as excited as I am. The joy of the Lord, man. What can be stronger than that? You're looking for happiness, you're looking for it in the wrong place. If you want some joy, it's only found in one J, and his name is Jesus this evening. His name is Jesus this evening. Man, what a pleasure it is to be here. Man, I love seeing your smiling faces. I just want to say, well done for coming here tonight to every single one of you. Well done. You have been placed here tonight strategically to hear the word of God. So I want to, tonight, would you mind participating with me? Would you mind just closing your eyes? Don't open them. Please, listen. Close your eyes. I want to open up your imagination this evening. Shoreline, he is standing right in the midst of that storm. Tonight, there's a storm that is happening in your life. And this is not by chance. There's a stirring in the storm. But I've got good news for every single one of you. Jesus is right in the middle of what you're facing this evening. You can open your eyes. I want to tell you, in that boat, those disciples were shaking. It was something they could not even imagine. The waves were crashing. Jesus is standing in the midst. And the rock, Peter, in boldness, he says, can I come to you? Can I come to you, Jesus? Can I come? That was a story that happened in Matthew 14, 20 to 23. Disciples are terrified. They're exhausted. But Peter, bold and sincere, he asked to step out of that boat. That could not have been easy. And it's not easy in the trial that you are facing today. But Jesus is there, standing right next to you. It is Jesus that has given me the boldness this evening to come and stand here and preach the gospel. This is not Grant being confident. This is not Grant, he's so vain that he can speak on a mic. There is nervousness, there's a bit of anxiety, there's a bit of fear coming up here. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is standing with me. He is standing with you in this storm this evening. Nothing is too difficult for this Jesus. And in that storm, no matter why it's pushing you, no matter how those waves are tossing you in addiction, in what you're fearing, in anxiety, in things that you shouldn't be doing, Jesus still says, I am still standing with you, even though you are facing something that cannot be explained. He is still with you. But the second Peter looks away, the second he looks away, he sinks. A slight shift of focus. Doesn't that happen to you and I this evening?
How often has God seen us through so many things? How often has Jesus done so many things for us? And sometimes we can take our focus off him. But tonight we're not going to dwell on the sinking. Because when we focus on the sinking, it can take us to a place so far from Jesus that it's so hard to get back. But you just have to reach out your hand and cry out for help this evening. Don't be silent in your storm. Tonight's message is called Eyes on Me. No, not on me, Grant. Please, it's not the eyes on me. It's relational. It's when you're going through a storm and Jesus whispers to you, keep your eyes on me. That's what this message is for. This message is for you and it is for me. It's not Grant pointing a finger at you because I am going through it as well, just as you are. Jesus, sometimes I feel he likes to play with me. I don't know why. Because every time I'm going through stuff, I get asked, hey, Grant, what do you think about preaching on Sunday? I'm like, my God, I am going through the same thing that this message is telling me. I went through a Monday of just silence. I was so silent. I was so down. My friends were messaging on a group. We got a three-man friend group, right? So we keep it quite tight. And they asking about their daughters and their children and their schools, and I was just silent. Man, I was going through so much on Monday and Tuesday. I want to tell you, you've got to invest in friends in the kingdom. The friends that you have in the world that are encouraging us to move away from him, that's not the friend that we need to be associated with. We need to have friends that are like-minded. We need to have community around us that are like-minded that will encourage us. You see, the one friend of mine is a pastor, and he's also like he's a mentor to me that's out of my normal mentorship in the kingdom here at Grace Life. It's a complete outsider, not even part of NCMI. And he calls me. He says, Xesh Mikes, because that's how we talk, you know. Xesh Mikes, are you okay? And I explained to him the situation. And he says, you know what? I was going through the exact same thing. But there's a psalm that goes in Psalm 23. At the end of the psalm, it says, and I want to say this to every single one of you, that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, even when you are going through the most. Then he sends me to Psalm 112. He says, your children, I don't know exactly the quote, but just forgive me how I'm messing this up. But he says, even your children would be looked after. Your descendants after you will be looked after, because surely goodness and mercy will follow me wherever I go. I thank God for Hempis. Well, nickname Hempis. I thank God for him, man. Man, we just got to find ourselves with people that are encouraging us and drawing us closer to Jesus. Because let me tell you, as leaders, we are not immune to issues. We are going through it. Because the enemy does not like that we are voicing the kingdom, that we are showing people who Jesus is. The enemy does not like that day that you said yes to Jesus. Because the moment you said yes to Jesus, your challenges got worse. Because the enemy wants to break you. But Jesus will put his hand out and always come back rescuing you. Always when I cry out to him. We're going to go through three steps this evening. It's called step out. 3 points. Step out. Is that my time up there? Oh, awesome. Step out. The courage to move towards Jesus. Fix your eyes is point number two. The discipline that sustains faith. And point number three, when you sink, God's response is rescue and restoration. Point number one, step out the courage to move forward. You see, when Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's expressing a deep desire to be closer to Jesus. You see what happens when you're fixed on the Father? You don't worry about what's around you. I just want to be close to Jesus. It's the focus. His focus was like, oh my word, we are in a storm, but look where he is. I want to be closer to him. Peter senses something so essential. Being near to Jesus is safer than being comfortable. Being near to Jesus is safer than being comfortable. The storm may still rage, but Jesus is right there. He's inside it. Throughout scripture, we see this. You see it in Abraham in Genesis 12:1. Jesus, God says to him, go, Abraham, to another land. Abraham gets up and he goes only with a promise. You look at Moses in Exodus. He goes back to Egypt only with his staff and a calling. A man that the word says that he could mumble his words. He wasn't a stutterer. Some scholars say Moses wasn't a stutterer. He was just slow to speech. God used him to lead millions out of Egypt. Just on a calling from God. The disciples, they stepped out of their familiar lives. Fishermen, they had jobs. And they only went on a simple word. Two, in fact, follow me. Simple. In every story, God invites his people into what? A forward motion. And I love this. It's because he is already, and it's not because it's smooth. Hey, this is the thing about Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, it's not a smooth road. There's a promise in James about the trials that we will face. But it's because he is already standing where he's calling them to go. Is God calling you this evening? I want to let you know that he is already standing in front of you. He knows your future. He's waiting for that step. And here's where this becomes deeply personal. Every one of us has a place Jesus is calling us to step into. Every one of us, you are not disqualified this evening from the calling. There's a step that every one of us needs to take. Do you know what I love about Jesus and how uniquely he has shaped every single one of us? Every single one of you has a gift that will collaborate in the kingdom of God that I don't have. You have something that I don't have. So when we collaborate in our gifts, the moving of the gospel becomes radical because we're using our gifts that God has given us. I want a radical moving of Jesus this evening. I want a radical moving. Because there are gifts that have been silenced. The enemy has silenced your gifts by putting doubt into your mind. I'm telling you, God can't wait to use your gifts. Woo! I can't wait to see your gift. Because this is what I love the most. We cheer each other on. We spur each other on. If you got a gift, I love it. Let's use it. God wants to use your gift tonight. For some, it might be a difficult conversation you're avoiding in this next step. Maybe it's a ministry you've been delaying. Maybe it's someone that you need to talk to. God wants you to make that step tonight. You see, Peter's story shows us that courage has never been the absence of fear. Can you imagine stepping out into a storm, wind and waves crashing on the side of you, focusing on Jesus? Can you imagine what he must have said? This is going to be great. Keep my eyes focused. Can you imagine that feeling he must have had inside of him? It's the willingness to move toward Jesus, even while that fear is present. And there's a fear that maybe you're not enough, that the kingdom doesn't need you, that you're not ready for leadership. That is a lie from the enemy. God just wants to use you with that lovely gift that you have inside of you and use it for his glory. You see, the boat feels safe. It's a great place to be in. But it isn't where Jesus is. Jesus is in the storm. The step toward Jesus may feel small, shaky, and sometimes even uncertain and unsure. Because that first moment, Craig said to me, "Hey, Grant, can you take the mic and say the announcements for today?" I was like, but I was shaking my boots, my knees were doing some weird things. But man, it's courage. It's not the absence of fear. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do this." And now we stand boldly, not because of, like I say, of who I am, but because of the Holy Spirit. You say yes to the King, and your steps will be ordered of him. Where is Jesus inviting you to step right now? Where is Jesus inviting you, me, to step right now? And not someday. Not when the storm calms down and the wind stops. While you're in that storm, while you are in that struggle, God is saying now, take a step forward. I am there. I am there for you. Write it down. Name it. Pray over it. I believe God will meet you where you are. There's nothing too difficult for him. You just have to step out and God will do it for the rest for you. Point number two, fix your eyes. The discipline that sustains faith. You see, Peter didn't sink because the storm got worse, right? He didn't sink because, oh my, this thing's moving. No, he did not sink because the storms got worse. He sank because his focus shifted. As long as his eyes were locked on Jesus, he would have just kept on walking. But as soon as he took the focus off of him, he began to sink. But the moment his attention drifted, when the wind became louder than the word, when the waves become bigger than the one who made them, fear replaced faith. That fear that we are facing right now, don't dwell on it. Don't find yourself dwelling on that fear. It will harden your heart. I just want to say today, that sin that's worrying you, that's from stepping out, deal with that sin. Because what happens, we do it so often, it hardens that area of your life and would stop you from moving forward. Tonight, deal with that sin. Don't carry that sin like a badge of honor. It's the only thing that I do for pleasure. God understands me. It's the grace of God. He loves me anyway. That's the enemy hardening your heart because you're not, and I am not, dealing with sin. Deal with that sin because it will keep crushing your dreams and your gifts. Deal with it. Whatever captures your gaze will eventually shape your steps. How's that for a one-liner? Whatever captures your gaze will eventually shape your steps. If I am so focused on this fear, I will walk in that fear every single day of my life. Unless I refocus to the Son of God. Unless I shift my focus onto Jesus. Tonight, shift your focus. In Hebrews 12 verse 2 it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Fixing your eyes means choosing again and again what you will look at and what you will not look at. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. I got four mini points under this point number two, right? And the first one goes like this. First, we fix our eyes by regularly reminding ourselves who Jesus is. Peter walked not because he trusted himself, he trusted Jesus. Reminding ourselves who Jesus is, that's what we got to keep on doing. In Psalms 77, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. He did it before. He can do it again. This is the God that we serve. Second, we fix on our eyes by practicing habits that train our attention. Scripture, prayer, going to life group. These are things that are training our minds every single day. Third, we fix our eyes with the help of our community. Our community is critical in our walk with Jesus. Because if we are not spurring each other on, encouraging one another, we are carrying so much difficulty. We cannot do this alone. How long would Peter have to stare at Jesus? Over and over and over. We can't stare at him all day long. We need partners in the kingdom. We need community. We need mentors. We need to speak. We need to be encouraged. And we need to encourage as well. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it urges us, spur one another on and encourage one another. You got a friend that knows Jesus, but not too much. Spur on. Let her come in. Young man, spur that young friend. You know someone who should have been here. And you didn't tell them, hey, it's happening tonight. Come. Let's spur our friends on to come to meetings, to come together. Fourth, we fix our eyes by responding immediately and verbally to fear. You respond immediately and verbally to fear. When anxiety hits, when the waves are crashing unexpectedly, don't let the silence fill with worry. Don't let that silence fill with worry. Say something. Say something simple. Lord, help me. Lord, help me in my unbelief. God's not looking for fancy words. He wants it to be simple. He wants a simple cry out. Lord, help me in these moments. Picture a runner running a race. He's standing, there's seven other guys, and they're about to run the race. If he is focusing on who's wearing different techies, he's focusing on the crowd. There's guys that are walking around. He's looking at the guy with the gun about to start the race. If he focuses on that, he's not going to win that race. His focus needs to be on the finishing line. But by the way, the preparation, he's trained. There's been hard work there. There's been coming to community. He's training with people to build his strength in his legs, in his arms, everywhere. There's a long build up to this race. But his focus cannot be on the ones that are running it. His focus must be on the finishing line. Our focus must be on Jesus, continuously training, continuously in him, continuously shouting. Silence must not be a part of us. We must shout out. And it leads me to point number three. When you sink, God's response is rescue and restoration. You see, Peter sinks. And that's the honest part of the story. And maybe the most comforting. For all his boldness and courage, and for all his faith, he still falters. Isn't that like you and I? You know, Jesus took on flesh so that he could feel just like you and I. There was a moment on the cross when he says, why have you forsaken me? There was his flesh. The pain. Why have you forsaken me? He understands how we feel. He understands what we go through. When his friend Lazarus had died, the shortest scripture in the word, Jesus wept. It shows that there was, God felt things. You see, the storm gets loud, fear creeps in, and suddenly the water that once held him begins to swallow him. Even after seasons of strength, focus, spiritual clarity, just like you and I, we go through so many seasons where God has shown his hand, we still falter. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Peter's cry is, Lord, save me. It's so close to a human, so close to me. That's what I would say. Because when I'm in trouble, I'm like, Lord, save me. It's the best thing I can cry out. Three mini points and we're almost done. First, rescue comes before discipline. Jesus does not stand back and say to Peter, look at you. Haven't you seen what I've done for you? When he begins to sink, he doesn't reprimand him or discipline him. He pulls Peter up. He pulls him up. He doesn't rebuke him. After rescuing him, only then does he address the doubt. Ye of little faith. After he's rescued you, he is a compassionate father. He's a loving God. He will rescue you, but then he will correct you. Second, your sinking is an invitation back, not a badge of shame. How many of us have not come here tonight because of shame, because of something that we've done is so despicable to you? When Jesus just sees you as a son and Jesus sees you as a daughter. So many believers sink and then hide. Shame drives them further from the one who longs to restore them. Let Jesus take your hand tonight. And the third little point is, learn from the sinking. Jesus' question, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It's not an angry scolding. He's not shouting at him. It's an invitation to reflect. Because I got this in imagination, like, imagine now that Jesus came onto the boat and now we're sitting together and we're moving to the next destination. Jesus could have just said to him that day, hey, Jesus, hey, Peter, so why did you doubt me? I guarantee there must have been conversation. And he must have said, hey, Jesus, listen, I'm only using my imagination. Hey, don't say it's from the Bible. I'm only using my imagination. Don't quote me on this. And Peter must have said, Jesus, hey, when the wind came and the waves started hitting me, I couldn't help but look at the waves and the storm and the wind around me. I couldn't help it, Lord. But Father, hey, just forgive me. Because that is Peter's heart. That was Peter's heart, ever so bold. The sinking becomes a teacher, not a sentence. When you sink, it's okay, but let us learn from this. Let us know why. Let us recognize why we are shifting our focus. So let me ask you, are you sinking under a habit, a fear, a shame, an addiction, a private discouragement maybe? Are you sinking because of that? I want to ask you tonight, boldly, cry out to him. Cry out to him. Would you mind standing with me this evening? You see, Peter's story is our story. We step out in faith, trusting Jesus enough to leave the safety of the boat. We walk sometimes with confidence, sometimes trembling, keeping our eyes on him as best as we can. And yes, there are moments when we sink. There are moments when we falter. He just wants us to cry out and keep coming back. Let's not go back to that fear. Let's not be found stuck in that fear that our hearts get hardened by it. Let's overcome it by crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me tonight as I sink, Lord. I cannot handle this situation, Lord. The shame, the guilt I am carrying, Father. I pray right now, help me, Lord. Help me in my unbelief, Lord. Simple words that will impact. Now, just three little things, right? Today I want to leave you with just three simple invitations. Step number one, step. Name one step of faith Jesus is calling you to this week. Have you not been to a refuel on a Tuesday night? Take that step. I'll see you on Tuesday. Invite a friend on Tuesday. Take that one step. God is not asking you to take 50 steps at one time. He's saying take a single step. Take a single step this week. Number two, fix. Choose one practice from the practical steps we've discussed. Scripture, prayer, let that encourage you. Don't lean on your friends who are constantly discouraging you and moving you away from the kingdom. Go to scripture, go to biblical, go to the Bible. It has all the answers. Go to a mentor, go to people in the community. Discuss some things. Be vulnerable. God wants to meet you where you are. And number three, cry out. When you find yourself sinking, whether in fear, doubt, or struggle, call out to Jesus. He is right next to you.
Stay here, Bronte. There's definitely, I'd love you to pray for us, because I think that there has been stuff that's been provoked in you as much as it has in me. While Grant was sharing, I remembered this beautiful artwork. You want to hold it up for me? This is something Jess made last year for our volunteers' appreciation. It is sinking. But what I felt about this was, you know what? The Lord is calling you. You might not be on the waves yet. You might not have taken the step that Peter is, but I feel like there's this provoking, there's this invitation that's stirring up within you to say, Jesus, if this is really you, tell me to come. And he's saying, come. And you want to know what happens when you, if we're going to stay in this ship of life, there are the things in life, we are going down. We are going to sink. Who's been on those sinking ships? I'm so glad I jumped ship that many years ago. But once we've taken that step, you know what happens? We get into closer proximity to Jesus. So when we do sink and we say, help me, then he is able to reach out and catch our hand. If we're still in the boat, we haven't even got that close to him for him to be able to save us. So what is it? I know that there's something, and I'd love as Grant prays over us and provokes us to say, this is it, Lord. I'm drawing a line in the sand, or I'm taking a step out of the boat. I've been in that boat for too long, and that is a sinking ship. There's no hope. It's going down. I'd rather be closer to you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to raise my hand first. You may not know what I'm going through, and I don't know what you are, but there are things that we are facing this evening. We will not surrender to our fears. We will surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will cry out for help to this God who loves us endlessly. Father, as we take steps this week, Lord, intentional steps, Father, towards you, God. Father, you are standing in the storm with us, Lord. You are with us in the shame and in the guilt, Father. You are there in the midst, Father. I pray right now, Jesus, that you would ignite something inside of us, God, this week, Lord, that things will change, Lord. Something must happen, Lord. We will choose to practice things that will help us, God, that we will train our minds, God. Go to the word, Lord. Go to the word, Jesus, and rely on the King of Kings. Look, this week, if you haven't cried out to the King of Kings, I urge you, cry out to him, Lord. Cry out, Jesus, help me, Lord. He is there in that storm. Father, we receive your glory. We receive your victory, Father. You did it on the cross, and you said, it is finished. Bless your name. Amen.